भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 47
इष्टापूर्तेन मामेवम् यो यजेत समाहितः लभते मयि सद्भक्तिम् मत्स्मृतिः साधुसेवया इष्टापूर्तेन मामेवम् यो यजेत समाहितः लभते मयि सद्भक्तिम् मत्स्मृतिः साधुसेवया इष्टापूर्तेन मामेवम् यो यजेत समाहितः लभते मयि सद्भक्तिम् मत्स्मृतिः साधुसेवया इष्टापूर्तेन मामेवम् यो यजेत समाहितः लभते मयि सद्भक्तिम् मत्स्मृतिः साधुसेवया
this
labhate mai sadbhaktim mat smritih sadhu sevaya
Ishta by sacrificial performances for one's own benefit. Purtena and pious works for the benefit of others, such as digging wells. Mam, me, evam, thus, yaha, one who, yajeta, worships, samahitaha, with mind fixed in me. Lavate, such a person obtains, mai, in me, sat bhaktim, unflinching devotional service. Mat smritihi, realized knowledge of me. Sadhu, with all superior qualities, sevaya, by service. Translation and purport by humble disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who has executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction and who thus worships me with fixed attention obtains unflinching devotional service unto me. By the excellent quality of his service, such a worshipper obtains realized knowledge of me. Purport. The word ista purtena, which means sacrificial performances and pious works, does not indicate a deviation from the pure devotional service of the Lord. Or Krishna or Vishnu is called Yajna, or the Lord of the sacrifice. And in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktaram Yagatapasam, I am the actual enjoyer of all sacrifice. The highest sacrifice is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realized knowledge of the Absolute Truth. A realized devotee is very attentive in his devotional service, taking it as his life and soul. He keeps himself fit for devotional service by constantly worshipping and glorifying the lotus feet of the Supreme Spiritual Master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such Harinam Kirtan and Guru Puja are the only practical methods by which one can achieve pure devotional service. When Hari Kirtan is expanded, it is called Krishna Sankirtan. One should not dry up by performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage with all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of human life.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Seeking all auspicious presence and your blessings so that I can speak something on this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading today 11th canto, chapter 11, text 47, the symptoms of living entities. And in this particular verse, 47, this is Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. also known as Uddhav Gita. Krishna is speaking about devotional service, bhakti. And here he speaks about how one can dedicate one's activity to Lord Krishna, and in doing that one can achieve the unflinching devotional service to Krishna. It is said that bhakti cannot be achieved by yajna, dana, tapa and all those things. Yantra, mantra, puja, you know, all those things. Or by, there is no way we can do to achieve by doing that. I mean, what I mean is, I'm sorry to confuse. Suppose I do something, there is some result in this world. We work, we get a salary. So that work justifies the salary. But there is nothing which we can do and claim that, give me bhakti to Krishna. It is his personal thing. And it is up to him whether he wants to give it or not. We can't demand. It's like love. We can't demand it. It has to be given voluntarily. Or it is received voluntarily. We can't demand it. So bhakti is the same thing. But here Krishna says, if you do like this, I will give my bhakti. One can achieve it. So on the one hand, we can't claim it. On the other hand, Krishna is showing how you can do it, how we can do it. So this is something that means we have to do our activities with all humility. Without saying that my activity is the means to get what I am getting. So here the Lord is saying one can perform sacrifices for one's own benefit. One can do activities for others' benefit, like digging wells. But if it is done for my pleasure, then one can achieve devotion for me. It's very simple actually, it's very simple. Previous verses also Krishna is speaking so many things about doing activities and all, and how is there in everything and everywhere. And if we see that, and if we, how we can see Krishna in fire, how can Krishna see in water, how we can see Krishna in air, how we can see Krishna in serving brahmanas, cows, serving devotees, Vaishnavas, serving living entities in general, the trees, every living entity. So, if we see Krishna's presence in all those activities, then Krishna will reciprocate by awarding his love. So these are the means, because we cannot give up doing certain things in life. Krishna is saying how to add himself, how to add Krishna to our activities. That is the art of yoga. Now there is a sloka in Bhagavad Gita which says, yoga karmashu koshalam. The art of yoga, or the one can be expert in yoga. How? By somehow or other adding Krishna to all our activities. It is explained that in this world we are living, we have two dharmas. One is called Swadharma, the other is called Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means the eternal activities that we do, which is belonging to the soul. What is the soul's eternal nature? Krishna Nitya Das. That soul derives satisfaction by serving Krishna. You know, just like there may be many children, but a mother derives maximum pleasure by serving her own children, own kid, right? Others may also give pleasure, but own children gives much more pleasure to the mother. Because there is a relationship. Similarly, soul, our eternal relationship is actually with Krishna. It is covered now. But our actual relationship with Krishna, so when the soul serves Krishna, it derives maximum satisfaction. But because we are covered and we have forgotten that relationship completely. Completely means completely. After hearing also, we are not able to revive it. It takes time. How long, we don't know, but it takes time. There is a way to come out of it, ignorance. But yeah, the fact is we are covered. Therefore, we have the other dharma now. The second dharma is dharma which belongs to this body and mind, which we have acquired because of our karma. So, we have acquired a nature which is not our true nature. That is the material nature. So the whole challenge is how this Swadharma which I have acquired because of my own past activities, how do I do it in a way that it revives my relationship with Krishna? So that is the whole subject of yoga, where we try to do our activities in a way that we try to please Krishna or add Krishna into that picture. Therefore, you will see, you will find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking two verses twice. And these two verses are actually very much to do with our life. One verse is Krishna saying, Manmana Bhavan Bhakto Matiyaji Mam Namaskuru. This verse Krishna speaks twice, right? Once in chapter 9, I think last verse, and again in 18th chapter. 9th chapter is actually entitled, Prabhupada says it is about Bhakti Yoga, 9th chapter. So here Krishna is saying, think of me always. He's telling to Arjuna, always think of me, always worship me. Man manava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Matiyaji, worship me. Namaskuru, always pay obeisances to me. So these activities are very purifying. And it revives our relationship with Krishna. That Sanatana Dharma that we are speaking about. Our eternal relationship with Krishna. So one is this aspect that Krishna is emphasizing by speaking this verse twice in Gita. That Pratijani Piryosime, then in another place he says, definitely you will come to me. You will become dear to me in one place he says, in another place he says, you will definitely come to me. Mamevesesi Yuktamte. Pratijani Priyasimi. You will definitely come to me and you will achieve me by doing this. So this is something we should always focus, this verse, that somehow or other let us think about Krishna. Right? So that will definitely help us. And of course chanting, we'll come to that little later. So that is one aspect Krishna is very clearly explaining in Bhagavad Gita, that we should think of Him constantly by speaking this verse, emphasizing. You know, something spoken twice means it is very important. Another verse He speaks twice is about our Swadharma. Where He says, it is better to do one's own activity, even if it is faulty, than doing another's activity in a superior way. My own activity I can do faultily, that is fine. But even if I do somebody else's activity very perfectly, nicely, still Krishna says, bhaya bhaya, that is very dangerous. Very dangerous. And this verse he speaks twice in Gita. So one is about Sanatana Dharma, the other is about Swadharma. So, we have our own nature which we have acquired, and we should not try to step over. You know, I was, you know, Shambhala Prabhu, Jilara devotee, who recently passed away, unfortunately.
he was studying and he has become Ayurveda Acharya. Actually, he studied a lot of Ayurveda. And I was asking him this Kapha, Vata, Pitta, three nature. Three dosa. Right? They're called three dosa. Kapha, Vata, Pitta. And many of devotees are also nowadays Ayurveda taking interest. So I said, dosa means basically fault, right? So we are made up of these three things. So nature, why they're called dosa? What is the problem? And he was explaining me. He gave me some books also to study. And I was studying those books. And I found that this dosa or fault, why it is called fault? Because this Kapha, Vata, Pitta, if any one of them goes out of balance, can kill us. Kapha goes out of balance, can kill us. Vata goes out of balance, can kill us. King Kulashekara sings that famous, you know, verse. Prabhupada quotes quite often. Krishna Todiya Padapankaja Pankaja Angre. I don't know the whole verse, I don't remember. But there one line comes, Prana Prayana Kale Kapha Vata Pitta Kantha Varodha. The time of death, this Kapha Vata Pitta, they go out of balance, they choke. Literally, everybody is getting choked. They just choke. And in that miserable situation, will I be able to remember you, Krishna? Rather, right now I'm in a very good health. Let me just think, let my, you know, swan of my mind focus on the lotus feet and just Hari Bol. So he was desperately praying like that. This Kapha Vata Pitta, they're going to create problems. Satto Rajas Tamas, they're going to create problems. So I was asking, why they're called dosa? Because they go out of balance. But we are made up of those three things. We are made up of these three things. Kapha Vata Pitta, the whole body is basically this three nature is there in different way combined to keep us alive. And how is it so? Then it is said in Ayurveda that when we are conceived in mother's womb, then we get a particular combination of Kapha Vata Pitta and we develop a nature. And that nature actually protects us. How is it so? Allows us to live. How is it so? Then the book explains that just like poison inside a snake doesn't kill the snake. It is poison. Similar, Kapha Vata Pitta in each of us is actually poison. They can kill us. But certain combination also protects us. Therefore, if we step out of that nature, you know, we'll die. Then it will not protect us. So the whole idea of good health is somehow or other remain in that nature. Wherever we take birth, the place, the environment, the climate, the food, which nourishes that nature, will allow us to live. So these are the fundamental principles. I found it very useful actually. Same way, our karma or everything, our material nature, sattva, rajas, tamas, whatever nature we are, then according to nature, one is Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, Kshatriya, whatever. So that nature I have to be. Kshatriya has to administer. Brahmana should be austere and renounced. So the Brahmana try to enjoy, the Brahmana will be miserable because that is not his nature. So those who are intelligent, they stay in their nature. The Brahmana, even if you offer bribes, say, no, I don't want. What will I do with this money? I don't need this money. You know? Kshatriya will say, I'll not take bribe, but I'll take taxes. He'll take all the taxes that is required to run the whole, you know, government, everything. And the Vaishya will do business. He'll not find pleasure in anything else. I have seen some of my friends in Orissa. We are from Orissa. And most of her in service sector, basically Sudra. But I have seen many Marwadis people come and settle, Punjabi people come and settle, and Punjab also people have come and settled. They become our family friends like that. They will study Some of them are toppers also, but as soon as they pass out, they go to their shops. And you will find them happy always, because they are always in their nature. So some of us who try to do business, there may be some profit, there may be opulence, but you won't find peace in their home. Some disturbance is there. Or they use the money in a very wrong way, because they don't know the value. So it is said that, in the previous time, the villages, the jamindars, of course later they exploited a lot, and there's a whole issue that's something, is also a very odd reality, very dark side of the whole story. But on the other hand, there is also a good side of the story, which what it should be, supposed to be, is that a lot of people work under them in the fields, in the agriculture. They are in Sudra categories. Sudra category means the one who is in a very strongly in a bodily concept of life. They have no idea about karma or future life. No. This is life, let me enjoy. So whatever they get, they start enjoying. But because those who think they're superior, like Vaishya or Brahmana, Kshatriya, they have a responsibility towards these people who are actually working and making things happen. They make things happen. You know, all these big roads, bridges, big structures, these people, they make it happen. Of course, somebody designs, this is another thing, but even some of them, they also design. But the point is, they have a responsibility that this will also become spiritual. Because the Brahmanas understand it, the Kshatriyas, they understand it, even the Vaishya, they understand it. So, though they don't give them that facility which will make them more materialistic. So therefore, not much money is given in their hand. They will be given good food. As much as they want to eat. Any health issues, they will give all the money to take care of the health. Any shelter issues, they will give all the facility to have a home. Any issues, some daughter is getting married or some gifts has to be given, they give all the money to support that also. But salary will always be just enough for him to survive. Just enough. And these people, because of that care, they don't give money, but they give so much care, they're always attached to them. They don't leave such people. And their son and grandson, grandchildren, the whole family keeps serving the same family for generations. And in this way, they are in their nature, but they don't do anything wrong because others care for them. You know, that facility is there. So staying in one nature is very important, because by doing activities in our own nature, we derive satisfaction. Otherwise, we won't get satisfaction. If I do something which I am not, I'll never get satisfaction in that. So when we accept this fact and do things according to our nature, then even if it is faulty, that activity will protect me. But if I am doing some activity which I am able to do it somehow or other for some period of time, but that will never give me satisfaction, that will give me anxieties, worries. Just like we read this story in childhood, I don't know how many of you have read this. There was a king who was sitting on big throne. Sorry, thorn and throne, they are like similar in English language. Simhasan, high seat. And giving instructions, orders and all those things, he's just, So one man, he came to say, why, you are given such a high seat, to just keep ordering, so what's the big deal? I can also do these things. The king smiled and said, okay, you come tomorrow and sit in this simhasan. You do whatever I'm doing. But when he came, he saw there was a sword hanging on the top of the and the sword was tied with a hair. Heavy sword was tied with a hair. Somehow he managed it. He said, what is this? I can't sit there. He said, yes, the kind of anxiety and stress that I get is something like this. There were some farmers in Andhra Pradesh. I'm speaking this story in '90s. When I was not active devotee, I mean devotee or whatever you call them, not active in Krishna consciousness. I was reading newspaper, so I read some article about the farmers in Andhra Pradesh. Somehow that they found that if you make this, there is a fish called prawn. It has less, no bones, just flesh. Lot of demand for that. And if, the West people eat all these things in Western, Middle Eastern places. So if they export it, they will make a lot of profit. Some proposal came and they became very excited about it. They said, we'll do it ourselves. And what they did, their own nice agriculture field, which is used for growing rice and all the things, they cultivated this fish in those lands. The problem is, or the requirement is, that the water has to be salty. So they made all the art salt and made ponds full of salt and everything. They cultivated this. And sometimes the thing came, but later, again, speaking about nature, that land was meant for rice, not meant for these fishes. So it failed. They were not business people. They are all sudras, farmers. They are just hard-working people, good people. But their nature is not to do business. So the business collapsed, they collapsed. A businessman, real businessman, when he collapses, he becomes like a kshatriya. When he gets a little defeated, he becomes with more anger. Let me see, you know, who's this guy? The Duryodhan was kshatriya. Although Bhima was beating him, still he's coming back. That is a kshatriya nature, you know. Till the point of death, they don't give up. Similarly, a good businessman will not give up. Something collapses, okay, let me see this, let me try this. They become more grave and they go around places and do some meditation and come back again. But the farmers, you know, very sad story, they start committing suicide. So as a businessman, they are successful for some time. They are successful. But because it is not their trait, not their nature, they collapsed. So these are some examples. Nowadays, because of education system, there is no understanding who I am. First of all, we don't know our soul. we do not know our Sanatana Dharma, and we do not know our Swadharma. Total ignorance, total chaos. Therefore, so much of, you know, miseries and stress all over. But here Krishna is saying, we should do all these activities, perform our, you know, pious activities, all these things, sacrificial activities. But it should be done in our nature for satisfaction of Krishna. What a wonderful thing actually. This is the whole way one's supposed to live life. Till the point where self-realized, we cannot perform Krishna Kirtan constantly. Constant Kirtan, unless we are self-realized, it cannot do it. It's not everybody's business, you know. It's not a common business to chant Hare Krishna all the time. One cannot do it. He'll propose to chant 16 rounds minimum to get a feel of it. To let the start medicine working, some purification happens. So, this chanting will help us. We can constantly chant to the... Like, there is a devotee. Yesterday I was talking to him. He is from our state, Bhubaneswar. He has a very nice home in Bhubaneswar, facing a nice river, which is still clean. That river is still clean. And very nice air. Nowadays I am teaching yoga. So I thought, it will be very good for your health. Now you are retired. Just stay there. Chant Hare Krishna. Read Bhagavatam. Spend your time. Just go and stay. Nice home. Spacious. And he has another home here in Bombay, which is New Bombay, little far from here. But he said, no, I'm going to stay here. I said, come on. Now retired life, just stay next to a river, you know, holy river. Rivers are all holy in India, more or less. Chant Hare Krishna, study Bhagavatam, spend alone rest of the life. He said, no, without devotees association, we can't do it. you know, he said about our temple. He is not a perfect devotee. I mean, I can speak it because we know each other very closely. And when he said that, I immediately accepted it. I said, yes, although there is a lot of pollution here in Bombay and a lot of difficulty, but we have this beautiful association of Krishna consciousness here. And without that association, it is very difficult to chant constantly. So I agreed. The point is, there are different stages of sadhana, coming back to our Sanatana Dharma, and we can't reach to the top just like that. Of course, if Mahaprabhu, you know, gives his mercy, like he touches somebody and they become ecstasy in Krishna prema, that all the covering just vanishes. But in generally, the Goswamis, they are giving the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Chatudarpana Marjanam. The whole purpose of chanting in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, is to cleanse the heart. Chatudarpana Marjanam. Marjanam, cleansing. And when you start cleansing, I don't know how many of you, most of us have this experience, like we go on vacation for 2 months. While living in hostel, I'm speaking about. And you come back after 2 months, your room is really, really dirty. Very dirty. Lot of dust in India especially. And we can't stay there, we have to clean it. And while cleaning, the dust comes up. And sometimes it chokes us, right? I don't know how many of you have this same, because I have this breathing problem, bronchitis. 2 days I will be sick after cleaning. But if I don't clean, I'll be sick forever. Though then 2 days sickness is okay than having sickness for the entire semester. It's better to clean it. But cleaning will aggravate our sickness sometimes. Sometimes, it usually does. Similarly, when you chant Hare Krishna, this material nature, when you're cleansing, they will come up. They will come up to a point that they can choke us also. Choke us to the point that we can't chant Hare Krishna. It may happen. Or our chanting will slow down. Like I was chanting Hare Krishna sometimes. I'm telling about myself. Sometimes the problems are so, you know, tough to face in life. So chanting Hare Krishna, I was saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna kya ho raha hai, you know. Literally, Hare Krishna, what is this all happening, you know. I didn't want all these things. What is all happening? So, Hare Krishna becomes, you know, chanting itself, you know, become tough. But when I was reading, I understood in grace of devotees and all these beautiful books that when we chant Hare Krishna, there are different stages. The first stage is called offensive stage. Offensive stage means we chant and we also commit offense. Therefore, in the morning before the chanting, we read the 10 offenses. And Srila Prabhupada said, try to avoid offenses. We should try to avoid these 10 offenses, right? Am I right? It is not an instruction, don't commit these offenses. There is no instruction like that. Because we do. These offenses, they happen. You know, not to blaspheme devotees. Sometimes we do it. Knowingly or unknowingly. Like I was speaking about nature. The class is still 9? 9:15, I'll take it. Out of touch. So when I joined ashram, 1990, those days VTA was not there. So there was no training straight in ashram. But I had that ego, you know, being from a big institute, an engineer, this and that, and the ego is still there. But that time it was little, you know, very strongly present in my life. And we had a reception, and there is operator, still we have. Those days we used to have one operator. And when they would go for break, lunch break, somebody has to attend the calls. So they told me, by turn we are taking, so my turn was also there to do that service of picking calls. So I was sitting there. Then the phone rang, I picked up. I said, Hare Krishna. Then the reply from the other side came, Kone? It's like that, somebody said. I got really angry. How can somebody speak like this in phone? I was from a refined, you know, kind of education and all. I said, before you ask who I am, the etiquette is you introduce yourself who you are. And the person from other said, Govinda Das. Oh, I'm sorry, Prabhu. But I have already, you know, lost my credibility by that time. Because, you know, that was not my job. So I was trying to do it. So I did mistakes. Then I forgot about it. After 2-3 days, again somebody calls. And says, newspaper aaya kya? You know. Because those days they used to keep newspaper next to the reception and all. I forgot that I did a mistake. You know, by talking to that and going through, who is this? Again angry. The person saying, Gauranga Das. I was saying, my God, I should not do this job perhaps. But then I tried to, no training, nothing, you know, just took some time. So doing activities not in our nature is sometimes, or not trained, it's difficult. We may do mistakes. So therefore chanting also, we are told to avoid because we're coming from a strong background which is full of all these things, desires and, you know, dreams and so many things. We are likely to, like this, we are likely to commit offense. And it happens, knowingly or unknowingly it happens. But the effort should be, we should try to avoid these offenses as much as we can. Just keep trying. Then when we chant without offense, that stage comes next, offenseless chanting. Once it's offensive, then there is offenseless chanting. Then we'll start feeling the healing of Hare Krishna chanting, feeling pleasure in chanting Hare Krishna. And then Nishtha and all those things, I don't remember because long way to go there. Nishtha, Bhava, then Prema and all those things are there. Anusthanibhuti. That offense-less chanting will actually start cleansing. Here we are cleansing and putting the dirt again. Offensive chanting is like that. Cleansing and putting the dirt back. Cleansing, putting the dirt back. So it is like nowhere, same. Our speed of, you know, flapping our hand and legs while swimming is the same as the force of the wave. So it's there. We don't move. We don't make any progress. So offensive chanting, it is explained, offensive chanting only maintains our chanting, that's all. Not able to move. But offensive chanting will start experience the dust is going away. Air is become cleaner. You are able to breathe nicely, there is space. And then that chanting will also help us gradually then we'll experience Krishna's love. That's possible. That's the way it is. But as long as we have not reached that stage, we have to use our nature in a way, keeping Krishna in center. That Krishna, well, I like to do this, but let me do it in a way that you are happy. We can do it. That much we can do. And at the same time, Sanatana Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna and all those activities that we do, which is purely spiritual activities. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
How can we do this attentive chanting? Suppose I am from Bombay, we travel in train, while traveling we chant. But how to do this attentive chanting? Every time when we travel we will be worried, so we have to get up 2 stations ahead, come near the door. At the time we lose this attentive chanting.
Thank you. to not to focus on chanting is also an offensive chanting. That is the 11th offense we speak about. Apart from the 10 offenses, main offenses, the 11th is not to be attentive is also offensive. Naturally, you are talking to somebody, but you are chatting on, you know, WhatsApp or something right in front of, saying but not actually listening. That is offensive. So chanting similarly, you are chanting, but like I read our Yogavatar Prabhu, he says, he writes sometimes on Facebook some nice realizations, he quick realizations speaks about. He says, when you are sitting to chant and if you want to fly to Golok, then keep your phone on flight mode. Because flying means flight mode, right? So keep it in flight mode and chant. Therefore, early morning when the phone is not required, that time if you chant, our 16 rounds best. In daytime, we may require it. Anyway, so attentive chanting comes from two things. One is the goal should be clear. Why I'm chanting? Sometimes you do things without a goal in life. Suppose you are doing something without a proper goal. Will you be able to do it? Will we be able to give justice to that activity? No. Now here we see devotees. That from some of them are from very educated background, whatever the background may be. Cleaning plates is not considered to be a very high activity. Sometimes people ask, what are you doing in temple? And sometimes we say we clean temple, jhadu pocha, clean plates. But if the goal is clear, then there is no problem. The goal is to please Krishna. This is Krishna's plates, or devotees who serve Krishna, their plates, whatever. If that goal is very clear, then the cleaning will be very nice. You see the plates in our temple pujari rooms, they are very sparkling, clean, all that, because devotees do it perfectly. All that is just a very simple activity. Because the goal is clear. Radha Gopinath will be very happy. It's their plate, let me clean it. They put all their heart. See, often people look for a job that will make them happy. Like everybody in the world, they look for a job that will make them happy. Happy means more money, that's all. But actually that's not the fact. Even if we get it, it is found that even if people have whatever they want, at the point of time there is despair, and there is hopelessness, there is loneliness. People who have all these things, you see, all that happiness, standard, whatever they get, but still there is a despair. Still there is something that troubles people. There is a feeling of hopelessness also. So, so-called looking for happiness in whatever we do is not the real thing. The real thing should be the purpose of what I am doing. So, the devotees may not be doing, like for example, myself, I cook. I didn't do all the education to become a cook, for example. But if I find a purpose in what I am doing, a goal, then I can go on. And I could do it. I could do cooking for so many years because I found a purpose. Devotees are happy, spiritual masters are happy. Hopefully deities are happy, So when we see, we find a purpose in what we are doing, then we can do it. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. So similarly, if we have to find a purpose in the chanting that we are doing. So purpose is a very simple purpose. That we chant, why? The prayer is, Hey Srimati Radharani, Hey Krishna, please engage me in your service. That is the goal. The goal. If the goal is clear, or the goal, for example, may not be that high. The goal may be just, I have all these, anarthas in my heart. Lost, greed, anger, envy, and these things are there. Let me chant. The goal is to clear these things. Let me just clinch. If I have a certain goal, then you can work on it. If there is no goal, it will go on. There is no goal, there will not be any attention. I think this, I heard this statement from Mahatma Prabhu. I think, if I'm right. Or, no, sorry, I think Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, he spoke this. Some long time, because you asked this, I was trying to remember. There has to be a goal. But sometimes, our daily problems and anxieties are so much that we forget the goal itself. We just forget it. So therefore, best to, why I recommend it, chanting can be any time, any place, anywhere, that's fine. But why in morning? Because morning time, at least we are away from our problems. Because we had a good rest, hopefully. If you have a good rest in the night, ignorance helps. Ignorance makes you forget about your problems also. Sometimes, if the good slave, therefore hard work is, so passion is also necessary. We work hard, become tired and sleep. You forget all the problems. Next day morning, therefore Brahma Muhurta is time for spiritual activity, because your passion and ignorance, everything is gone. Washed up for the day, before the day starts and all the problems start thinking about. Now, focus. Early morning chanting is good. So chanting and train and all those things, situation wise, circumstance wise, somebody is, you know, staying far away, they have to come to the other part of city to work, they have no other way, but that is the only time to chant and train and whatever. That is fine, but if possible, we should chant, yeah, at home or at temples, early morning, with a focused goal, then more attention will come. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.